So what are the elements that are most essential to human life? In school, we learned that there are three things: food, clothing, and shelter. And actually here, we also would number water, because that's... Food, clothing, and shelter are our most basic necessities. But even more than these needs is our need for comfort. Babies and children who are brought up in orphanages or uncaring foster homes, or even sometimes by their own biological parents, sometimes die in spite of being fed, clothed, and sheltered. Even the tiniest newborn babies know how to ask for comfort. They cry. And when babies and young children do not receive a comforting response to their cries, they give up hope. Those who survive sometimes become literally uncomfortable. And I imagine most of you have heard tragic stories of young children who have been adopted from orphanages and foster homes by good, loving parents, but they are unable to adapt and bond to their new families. And psychologists even have a diagnosis for this. It's called detachment disorder. And this situation sometimes develops with children who are adopted from other countries by American families. Now, we would think that a child that has been so deprived in its early life would be like a dry sponge, soaking up all the love, care, and positive nurture offered by their adoptive parents. We would think that they would thrive when they finally have a secure home where their needs can be met. Sadly, sometimes this is not what happens. The child is so scarred by their early lack of care and comfort that he or she is unable to receive love or to have any appreciation for having been rescued from their traumatic existence. Even intense professional therapy cannot change this sad situation. Fortunately, these cases are rare, but all of us, even as adults, have had moments in our lives when we felt the need for comfort. We all have moments when we would love to be a child again, to curl up in our parents' lap. When I was little, whenever I had a bad dream, I went to knock on my parents' door. And they would come and open the door, and I would be invited in and sleep in between them in their double bed. And there was no greater feeling of comfort than that. As soon as I fell asleep, my father would carry me back to my own bed, so I always woke up in the morning back where I belonged. We all have fond memories of our security blanket or our teddy bear or our favorite doll that helped us to feel comforted when we were in distress. In our family, it was also our dog. And Dave and I have two dogs, and they still provide us with a lot of comfort. And I bet all of you here today could name at least one of your comfort foods. For me, it's chocolate, I heard. What else? Yeah, everybody has a comfort food. For me, it is Campbell's vegetable soup and a grilled cheese sandwich. Our passage today from Isaiah is about a group of people who were uncomfortable. They lived 500 years before the birth of Christ, more than 2,500 years ago. The people of Israel had spent more than 50 years as captives in Babylon. And Jerusalem had been destroyed. A whole new generation had grown up in captivity. And very few people remained alive who could remember their old life in their homeland. They had been given the promise of God's special blessing as the chosen people. But now it seemed that God didn't care anymore. They thought that God had forgotten about the plan. Or maybe God was powerless to do anything to help them. The people of Israel felt detached from God. Then finally, after 50 years in captivity, they had been set free to return to their homeland. And once again, their hopes were high. But something was off. In spite of what seemed to be a turnaround in their situation, The going was getting even tougher. Only a few people were able to get back to the promised land. Many had fallen away from the faith. There were political enemies that still threatened them. Everything was destroyed and had to be rebuilt. Just when they thought their burden was finally going to be lifted, they found themselves carrying what seemed like a double load. They doubted God, and they were discouraged. They were depressed and tired and confused. Why were God's promises unfulfilled? They kept saying to themselves, "I have worked in vain. I have spent my energy for nothing." Their world had fallen apart. The people were scattered. God had abandoned them, or so they thought. Where could they turn for help? So in the midst of this depressing and hopeless situation, God speaks these words through the prophet Isaiah. "Comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and tell her this, that she has fulfilled her term of bondage, that her penalty is paid, that she has received at the Lord's hand full measure for all her sins." Now, in these words, we feel the whole situation changing gears. God has, at last, spoken to the people. And God's words are not harsh and angry, telling the people to stop complaining, shape up, and take responsibility for their situation. Instead, God speaks words of comfort and tenderness and promise of better days to come. God calls the prophet Isaiah to comfort the people. Now, for me, and probably for most other ministers, the call to comfort God's people is a central focus of our ministry. Now, yes, ministry is also about calling people to respond in faith, to obey God's commandments, and to follow Christ as his disciples. But none of these are possible without us first knowing and experiencing the love of God. Isaiah's words of comfort start with the announcement, an announcement that their time of testing is over and God has forgiven them. God is ready to lead them back to the promised land. God's voice calls upon all the powers of heaven and earth. Prepare the way of the Lord. Clear a highway across the desert. Every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain and hill shall be brought down. Rugged places shall be made smooth, and mountain ranges become a plain. Now, we all know about road construction and even parking lot replacement. We know how hard it is to travel when the roads are bad. So if we took this prophet's message literally, perhaps we would imagine in our minds images of angelic road construction crews. We would see winged earth-moving machines operated by seraphic figures wearing white robes, instead of coveralls, and halos instead of hard hats. We would see orange and black signs reading, "Caution, angels working," or "Slow, flag angel ahead." Just think about how great that would be. Interstate highways, state, county, and even local roads would be replaced with intercelestial highways with no bumps, no potholes, no construction zones, no detours. Well, as good as that sounds, that is not exactly what the prophet was declaring. The obstacles that God's people faced were not physical roadblocks, but the doubt and despair and general fatigue of the Israelites. And all of the political and psychological and physical fears could not keep God away. But the exiles did not have the strength or the will to take the lead in breaking through God's obstacles. God is the one who is all-powerful. God is the one who can break through all of the discouragement and disillusionment. And God can take the initiative. God does take the initiative to break through to us with the Spirit, even when we are confused and troubled. So here we are, 2,500 years later. And we know what the Israelites must have felt like. Our lives, like theirs, are a series of valleys and mountains, crooked places, uneven places, and rough places. And for some people, the holidays are the most difficult time of the year. We can feel depressed or lonely, especially when we have recently lost a loved one or have experienced an illness or any other kind of change or loss. We feel homesick as distance or work obligations make it impossible for us to be with our families during the holidays. Or perhaps family conflict has led to estrangement. We worry about our friends and family members who are struggling. Our children and grandchildren face pressures of overwhelming debt and difficulty making ends meet. And we wonder what traditions and values can we pass on to a generation which seems to be captivated by electronics, computers, technology, and media. And the state of our country and our world is a real worry to many of us. There has never been a time, at least not in recent memory, when our nation was so divided along ideological lines. People who belong to certain minority groups are terrified. There is talk of mass deportation and even concentration camps. This is not just for immigrants, but for anyone who is considered to be an enemy. Transgendered school children and adults are threatened with harassment and violence if they use public restrooms. I recently attended a meeting where reciting the Pledge of Allegiance was part of the program. And I could not make myself say the last phrase, because I know it just isn't true. We do not have in our country liberty and justice for all. Would that we did. Another big item on our worry list is our health. And with each new ache or pain, we fear some serious illness. I am a frequent faller. And I know a few of you lately have had falls here in our church. I'm not looking at anyone in particular. And you will see me clutching onto railings and furniture as I move around the sanctuary. I have very little family. And even with adequate resources, I wonder how I will manage when I get too old or too sick to live on my own. God can and does break through our sinfulness, our selfishness, our loneliness, our anxiety, our fearfulness. God can lift us out of our low self-image and can bring us down from lofty pride and arrogance. God can and does break through every barrier that we set on the way. Our God is the one who comforts us, even when we are in despair and have lost all sense of hope. I want today, when you go home, to wrap yourself in your cozy blanket, give your pet dog or cat or whatever you have, or stuffed animal, a good pat, and fix yourself a grilled cheese sandwich and warm up a can of soup. Amen.